Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you this morning to our worship service. We're glad you're here. There's a lot going on today, and I think it'll be a blessing to all of us. We follow that the month of October is not only the month in which we end the month by remembering the Reformation, and I remind you we'll have a special guest preacher next week for that. But the whole thing about the Reformation was reclaiming that the gospel of Jesus Christ was for all people, and that we were all priests before Him. There was no mediator other than Christ. And so, historically, October has been a month that the church has recognized the laity. You know that the gifts that were given by God to the church wasn't to do the work of the ministry. It was to help equip the believers, the body of Christ, to do the work of the ministry. So in October, we focus on laity, and in particular today we're having Laity Sunday. We'll have an opportunity later where we will make the second presentation of the Carolyn Ashwell Community Service Award, where we recognize one member of our congregation for their work in promoting the gospel. And then we've got a special guest from Operation Christmas Child that Webb will be introducing, that will share with us not only what we know with the shoeboxes, but another ministry that they are a part of. When Jacob shared it with me, I'm far more excited about that than I am all of the shoeboxes, and you'll hear more in a minute. Couple announcements that you'll see. I do need to know, because of the Sunday the 6th, November the 6th, we'll be remembering those that have passed into glory this past year in our All Saints Day Memorial Service. If you want to have someone remembered, please let me know that name. Any other announcements? Prayer requests this morning. One that I'd like to highlight, you'll see it's listed, but Carolyn's grandson, Justice, the one whose father was Chad, he died about a decade ago. Justice's cousin had lost his life this past week. So let's keep Walker Graham in our prayers. He was 16 years old, a student at Jefferson Forest High School. And Carolyn today is at the hospital, at the airport, taking Justice home. So let's keep the entire family of the Graham family in our prayers. Robert Wright is continuing to recuperate from his heart attack, aren't you, sir?
Yeah.
All right, good.
That's what's... There's no love.
Huh?
You don't make it no love, though.
I don't make it any better.
No.
Well, the feeling's mutual, brother. I feel the love. He is closer than a brother. All right, I saw a hand. Yes, ma'am.
Marion Crochetti.
Let's keep Marion Crochetti in our prayers. Aging issues. All right. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Carrie.
My sister Kim, who's had a surgery on Friday, and she just lifted her up in prayer. She's had surgery at the back.
This coming Friday.
October 20th.
Let's keep Kim in our prayers. Anyone else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come to you already having enjoyed the beauty of this day as brothers and sisters come back together, catch up from a busy week, see faces that we haven't seen for a while because of travel and other things, and just basically catch up as a body, as a family. And we thank you. For we know that when we laugh, our laughter is doubled. When we cry, our tears are shed and shared together. And we also know that you are in the midst as the high priest that's not unsympathetic, but in all ways, as we are, you understand the ups and downs, the joys and the pains of this earthly sojourn. So we just thank you for your presence and that you call us into your presence. You desire, even more than we desire to come into your presence, you beseech us to come and to gather in your name and to receive strength from being together. So we thank you for just the privilege of being able to pray together. And we ask that you would be with those that we've mentioned, be with those that are traveling, with the Justice traveling, with the Everett's traveling, with all those that are traveling. Give safety, we pray. We pray that you'd be with the Graham family and Walker's untimely and tragic death. We just pray that you'll bless them, strengthen them. May they find their solace in each other's presence, but above all, may they turn to you and find their true strength in the only one who is the God of all comfort and strength. We pray that you'd be with Kim as she's having surgery this coming Friday. We commit now that her to your care. We know that you will be present. We pray that the doctors and surgeons would draw on the very best of their skills that you've given them, prepare her body for a successful procedure. We thank you for Marion, her long life. Now with the adjustments being made, give grace, give strength and encouragement. Again, we thank you for your work in our midst as a church. We come not to see one person pontificate about the life of faith, but we come as men and women, boys and girls, together on equal ground, and as one, we share the joy of being your church, your beloved bride. We thank you for that. What a privilege it is to be those that bear your name. May we lift high that name today as we offer this prayer in that same name. Amen. If you look with me on the bulletin, as Christ commanded, we can only gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
You'll look with me to the insert of the lections for today. We'll use Psalm 5 by whole verse, calling each to worship before we stand and sing hymn 666, We Have Come Into His House. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation.
Hearken to my cry for help, my pain and my God, for I make my prayer to you.
In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. Early in the morning, I make my appeal and watch for you.
For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, and evil cannot dwell with you.
Braggarts cannot stand in your sight. You hate all those who work wickedness.
You destroy those who speak lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful, O Lord, you abhor.
But as for me, through the greatness of your mercy, I will go into your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in awe of you.
Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of those who lie in wait for me, make your way straight before me.
For there is no truth in their mouth. There is destruction in their heart.
Their treasure is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue.
Declare them guilty, O God. Let them fall because of their schemes.
Because of their many transgressions, cast them out. for they have rebelled against you.
But all who take refuge in you will be glad. They will sing out their joy forever.
You will shelter them, so that those who love your name may exalt in you.
For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. You will defend them with your favor as with a shield.
By the way, if you wonder why this is so screwed up, I put it on my calendar and totally forgot. So, and I can't see it in the bulletin because it's too small, so I'm going to read it from the large print on my phone. So I apologize for those who expect something different. The first lesson is Genesis 4, 1 to 15, Cain and Abel. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall come. Vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. This is the first read. Reading is from 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8 and 16 to 18. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And At my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
You don't pay me to do the work of the ministry. I receive wages, hopefully, to do my work of equipping all of you to do the work of the ministry. And we established and have, and it just so happens she's serving another today, so she can't be here. When we as a congregation came up with a way of honoring those that spread the gospel, we named it after the one who truly epitomizes the helping gifts of help, Carolyn Ashwell. And when we think of gifts, when we think of proclaiming the gospel, we normally think of that. People that talk directly to people about Jesus Christ. People that help others rebuild their homes. People that make furniture for the church. People that go to Parkview and work. Several months ago, I wanted to lift up another way of serving and promoting the gospel. So I presented a name to the board several months ago, and they quite enthusiastically agreed. We're told, and Martin Luther said, that if I proclaim the whole gospel, except that portion which is being questioned and threatened at that time, I've denied it all. We have to be ever ready to give a defense. There was a British reformer named Hugh Latimer. He was a bishop of Worcester. There's a sauce named after him. But he was a bishop during the time of King Henry. And he was known for being very forceful. In fact, he will eventually have his life taken from him under Henry's daughter, Mary, that we know as Bloody Mary. And he had an opportunity, because his fame had risen, to have an opportunity to preach, and King Henry was going to be in the crowd. And he wrestled what he was going to say before he got there. And he wrote this in his journal. As I began the sermon, I said to himself, "Latimer, Latimer, do you remember that you are speaking before the high and mighty King Henry VIII, who has power to command you to be sent to prison, or who can have your head cut off if it please him? Will you not take care to say nothing that will offend royal ears?" But then Latimer says the Holy Spirit convicts him, and he finishes this journal entry this way: "I paused and I had to continue being corrected by the Holy Spirit. Latimer, Latimer, do you not remember that you were speaking before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, before him at whose throne Henry VIII will stand before, to whom him and him alone one day you will have to give account to yourself? Latimer, Latimer, be faithful to your true master and declare all of God's word." And he did so. We have one in our midst that on a maybe smaller scale, but one that's just as important, has consistently, for about a year and a half, only missing one Bedford County public school meeting, stood and taken a defense for the truth. He has, in response to something that's seeking to take over our academies, what we know as CRT, or culturally responsive teaching, he has faithfully spoken the truth, and he has made a proclamation of the gospel in doing so. Amen. He has been a passionate advocate for freedom and for the inclusion of parents in the decisions concerning their children. And the thing about it, he doesn't even have a child in that school system. It was only on the prompting of his daughter that heresy was being taught, and someone had to take a stand for truth. He's also been a docent at Poplar Forest beginning in around 2016, trying to correct the retelling a new narrative that is being taught. And it was important for me to lift up for our instruction that there are many ways of proclaiming and preaching the gospel. And even though he does it quietly, he does it consistently. And I would be very honored if the recipient of this and our board chair would come forward. So our board chair, Kelly Kurtz, and Mr. David Dietrich, if you would come forward, Dave.
Because she has been deeply involved in this from the beginning. And if it weren't for Rosemary, I don't know if I would have been able to do this. So I want to share this with her as well. If that's okay. So thank you so much. God bless you.
And he does a mean Martin Luther, so come back next week, and he in drag, I guess that's not the right way to say it, he in costume will do Martin Luther, a sermon from that period, and it'll be a real blessing. Because the truth of the matter is, truth by definition can't change. It's eternally settled in the heavens. So if it was true at one time, it's still true. And David and Rosemary lived their lives in defense of that. Now we have an opportunity to talk about and hear another way in which our congregation can be involved in defending and spreading the truth. So I'm going to ask a guy that's sort of our director of evangelism, Webb Griffin, to come forward, and he's going to introduce the gentleman that's going to present to us.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
We have a special guest here this morning with us. He's been volunteering for 5 years with Operation Christmas Child Samaritan's Purse. He's here to present a presentation to us to talk about it a little bit, and I want to thank him, and I want to thank you guys. So far, I think we've taken 27 shoeboxes. We have 23 left, some right here, some out front. If you've taken some, thank you. We really appreciate that. But I was thinking about this morning, reach out to other people too. If you've taken three and you're like, okay, great, call your family members, call your brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, someone, and just spread the gospel. You know, the goal is 50. I'd like to hit it. So if you have any questions about it, feel free to get with me after this. But I'd like to introduce to you Jacob Sorrells.
Thank you so much.
Jacob, thank you, brother, for what you do.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Jacob Sorrells. I'm the logistics coordinator for Operation Christmas Child in the area. And this is not my wife and kids. This is a picture of my wife and kids. My wife and kids are in the back there. My wife, Candace, and my two boys, Watson and Haddon. We're just so honored and privileged to be here worshiping the Lord with you this morning. And so I want to share a little bit about Operation Christmas Child. I have had the privilege myself of working on this side of the shoebox, working here in the States, packing shoebox gifts, helping in ministries like the food banks. I've had that privilege of serving the Lord. Let me say that again. I've had the privilege of serving the Lord. Isn't it a privilege to serve the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Not only that, I've had the privilege of serving the Lord on the other side of the shoebox, on the other side of the globe. And what a privilege that is. Because you know what? We need those people on the other side of the globe just as much as they need us when we come to share the gospel with them. So I've seen both sides of the spectrum. And the question that I get asked a lot is, okay, how well are we doing in sharing the gospel? And here's the facts. 3% of our missionary force, all of the churches in all of the United States, are going with less than 1% of all missions giving to reach 40% of our globe. That doesn't sound like pretty good numbers, does it? And when you look at it financially, it doesn't look any better. Financially, Christians give only 2% of their incomes to Christian causes. 2% of your income. That's all the churches here in the United States are giving 2% of their income to Christian causes. But of that 2%, only 7% go to cross-cultural ministries and to cross-cultural workers. That's missionaries. Those are the evangelists on the other side of the globe spreading and teaching the gospel. 7% go to cross-cultural workers and ministries. And of that 7%, less than 1% goes to reaching the unreached. Now you ask me, what is the unreached? Right? The unreached are those who have less than 2% Christians in their community. They have no Bibles, they have no churches, they have no other believers that will be able to share the name of Jesus with them. And 40% of our world is classified as unreached. The numbers don't sound too good, do they? How are we doing as Christian believers reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Doesn't sound too good, does it? 3% of our missionary force going with less than 1% of our missions giving to reach, I think it's about 35% of the world. We've got some work to be done. And so I'm glad to be partnering with Operation Christmas Child for that reason, because Operation Christmas Child is being strategic in reaching the unreached. And I've got a video here that I'd like to show that talks about Operation Christmas Child reaching the unreached.
God loves sinners, and He's provided the way for you and me to come to heaven to be with Him, and that's simply through faith.
6,000 people lose their lives in the world today, many of whom have never heard the name of Jesus Christ ever before.
Anywhere at any time that is less than 2% Christianity, they're defined as unreached. Unreached people groups are located all across the world. Now is the first time in world history we actually know who they are, where they are, and the possibilities of bringing scripture to them exist for the first time in history.
There's an incredible urgency today for the gospel.
Many of you read from point one, you will find that I'm having something. Strong. Auna. Anisa. Anisa. For end of many of you from now, it's a season.
Arriba de las montañas hay mucha gente que necesita de
probably within the next decade, every single unreached people group will have the opportunity to receive the gospel.
Jesus is the light of the world. He who follows him no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
God's message, God's word, that living word, is everyone. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's true. Jesus Christ took our sins and he died on the cross, and then on the third day God in heaven said it's enough, and he raised his Son to life. This is the good news, and we've got a responsibility to take this message to the ends of the earth.
So many of us know the shoebox gift. Many of us have been packing shoeboxes for years. And the shoeboxes are great. Don't get me wrong. And I love what Pastor Tom said. It's not about the shoebox gift. These shoebox gifts, when you pack them full of love for these children, are to build bridges into their communities and into their families and into their homes. And through building these bridges with these gifts, the gospel is sent to each one of these children. So we all know we grab a shoebox, we pack it full of gifts and love, and we pray over this shoebox and we send it off in faith. And our prayer is that a child will receive this and not only receive the gospel, right? That's what the shoebox gift is all about. But what I'm excited about and how Operation Christmas Child is reaching the unreached is through what we call the greatest journey. Not only does every child will receive the shoebox gift and will receive the gospel, but they will also receive the opportunity to go through what is called the greatest journey. It is a 12-week discipleship training program that teaches the children about Jesus, what Jesus has done, and then teaches the children to take what they have learned and to share it with their families, their friends, and their communities. So not only are we seeing the lives of each child that receives a shoebox gift have an impact for the kingdom, but we are seeing entire families and communities come to know Jesus Christ through a shoebox gift. One shoebox gift is not just impacting the lives of one child, but it's impacting multiple people. And so not only are they receiving the shoebox gift, they're receiving the gospel, they're also receiving the opportunity to go through the greatest journey, the discipleship training program. But then at the end of that 12-week discipleship training program, these communities and these churches and these children who have never heard the gospel do not have a church to come to set and to worship and to learn about the Lord. They will receive a Bible in their language. And I think this is the most important part. Referring to Luther, I mean, it was all about getting the scripture in our hands so that we can take and learn the truths of God and apply them to our hearts and our lives. And that's where the impact happens. That's where the impact takes place. That's where lives are changed. So the shoebox gift, it's great. But what's really important is getting God's word into their hands and into their hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Just a couple more, few announcements here. The Greatest Journey, we've talked about that. Just a great tool. National Collection Week this week is November 14th through the 21st. We are going to be collecting all these shoeboxes. Last year, this area alone collected 20,000 shoeboxes. I don't like to think of them as shoeboxes. I like to think of them as gospel opportunities that we are going to send around the world. 20,000 shoeboxes. And this year, we hope to do more. If you would be interested in volunteering, please see me after the service. If you are one of those technology gurus, you can scan the QR code here. We are going to be at Calvary Baptist Church, will be the central drop-off. And we will be collecting all of those shoeboxes and beginning them on their process to their children. And we need volunteers. With that many shoeboxes, we need people who can pack them into cartons and load them up onto a tractor trailer. And so we'd love to have you come and volunteer. If you'd be interested in that, speak with me after the service today. Finally, one last thing I would like to mention is November 21st at 6 p.m. The Lord's, there's a story in Luke where a woman loses a coin, a silver coin. And what does she do? She cleans her house and she looks everywhere and she looks under her couch and under her bed to find that coin. And as she's looking for that coin, when she finds it, she rejoices. And the Bible says that much more rejoicing is going to be in heaven over one sinner that repents and comes to know the Lord. And so on November 21st at 6 p.m. at Calvary Baptist Church, we are going to be having a celebration. We are going to be rejoicing in advance over those children that come to know the Lord through all of our efforts packing these shoeboxes. And we are going to be celebrating what God is going to do with these shoeboxes. And we are going to then pray over them, lay our hands on the trailers as they are leaving, being shipped off around the world. We're going to lay our hands on the trailer and pray for each one of these shoeboxes that the gospel will go forth in power with them as they leave our hands and begin their journey to their children. So we would love to have everyone here come out. We're inviting all the churches, all the groups that are involved in packing shoeboxes to come out and be a part of that. There'll be refreshments. We're going to have some time of worship. And we're going to have a charge to you, the donors, as well. So we'd love for you to come out to that November 21st, 6 p.m. at Calvary Baptist Church for our commissioning service. I'll be at the back after service today and would love to speak with you if you have any questions. Thank you so much for your participation. And we're just so excited to be here worshiping with you today. Pastor Tom?
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your ministry.
Yes.
Amen. The truth is, as Jacob's quote, that the only thing God promised to bless is His Word. So in honor of the eternal nature of the Word that is Jesus Christ, I would ask you to stand as we hear the Word.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 18, verses 9-17. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing even infants to him, that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them to him, saying, Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you went on a vacation this year? All right. We know what a vacation is. What's a vocation? I mean, you can't have a vacation without a vocation. And most of the time when I've asked people what their vocation is, they've not answered technically. Because when I ask you, what is your vocation from which you may take a vacation, vacated for a while, period of time, most of the time people tell me their vocation is their job or their employment. And sometimes it is. But I'm going to suggest to you that you're fortunate, and I must say that like Tevye, understood that if he were a rich man, the greatest blessing would be able to sit and study the Torah at the wall. I am blessed, as other clergy are, that my vocation and my employment are the same. Some of you, it's not. You may work at a particular place or maybe are retired, but you don't retire from your vocation. Your vocation is that still small voice. That's what vocare comes from, to hear. What have you heard God call you to do? We were down in Florida. It was a beautiful time in Florida. The only bad thing about Florida is going. The going and coming was miserable. But once you're there, it's not a bad state. And it was a blessed time. And we saw, last Sunday, we saw several who were ordained, either into being a deacon or being a pastor or even one to being a bishop, where they heard the call and they answered it. And at that time, there were laying on of hands. Now, how many of you are not ordained clergy? Would you raise your hand? All right, that's just about everybody. You are not ordained clergy. But I would dare say most of you, even though you've not gone through an ordination service hearing that call, there was a time, I will say, where most of you had your had hands from an ecclesial figure placed upon you. You know what event I'm speaking of?
Baptism.
At baptism, you had hands placed upon you. I often, and it's fewer and fewer, unfortunately, but years ago when people going to seminary really wanted to become pastors, someone would come up to me and say, I'm going into the ministry. And I'd say, oh, did you just get baptized? Because if we understood the call correctly, every believer has had hands placed upon them. At the end of your life, you'll also have a hand placed upon you, as a hand of a clergy would be placed on your casket. And at that time, your body will go to its source, the soul confessed will go to his, and your opportunity to answer that call that was given to you at baptism will be done. As one who has been called and ordained, and I think I can speak for others, that there's a general overall sense that we're not worthy. And the truth of the matter is, we aren't worthy. But I want to make a distinction. And this distinction was made to those that were ordained to some form of full-time ministry. There's a distinction between not being worthy, which we're not, and also being worthless. We're not worthy, but that doesn't mean that we're worthless. We are made worthy in Christ Jesus. As Paul would say, I've been poured out as a sacrificial offering. I have given my life answering the call as a sacrifice to the one who through his work makes it worthy. There's a poem written 100 years ago, 101 years ago, 1921. And you've heard it before. I've heard it many times. But the senior bishop at the ordination service and time read this poem. And on Laity Sunday, reminding that you have a call. It may be to go to Parkview. It may be to talk to your co-worker. It may be to work with Bedford Ride. It may be to do a multitude of other things. But when you think you're not worthy, may this poem remind you that you not only are made worthy, but how. You've heard it, but Don't let your familiarity keep from hearing it anew and fresh. It's called The Touch of the Master's Hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two. $2, and he'll make it three. $3 once, $3 twice, going for three." But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid now for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000, once, $3,000 twice, and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried. "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once and he's going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Brothers and sisters, you have a call. And we are not of our own worthy. But may our prayer be in answering that call, the prayer of Saint Augustine, when he said, "Lord, command what you will, and provide what you command." And through Christ Jesus, he will do just that. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We lift our hearts in thanks and praise, God of truth, because you have dealt wondrously with us, pouring down the abundant rain of forgiveness, reconciliation, and healing. Constantly you meet your people in their shame and restore to them the years the swarming locusts have eaten. You rescued the children of Abraham from slavery and made a covenant with them to be your people. You called Judah home from exile, and when your people were still barefoot, you sent your Son to be the fullness of your grace among us. From the shame of the cross and the abandonment of the tomb, you raised him to glorious life and sent your Holy Spirit that the young might prophesy and the old might learn to dream again. And so we join with all heaven in the everlasting song of praise.
Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We gather expectantly in your midst, God of grace, because you promise that your people will eat in plenty, will taste and know that the Lord is good, and will be satisfied. Send your Spirit upon your church, that all call upon your name may be saved. Breathe your Holy Spirit on this bread and on this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We wait humbly on your mercy, God of peace. Look with favor on all who know that they have fallen short of your grace and scorned your love, and yet seek you with hope and with penitent hearts. Show compassion to your children who cannot say that they have fought the good fight or finished the race or kept the faith. Make your church a place of second beginnings, gentle hearts, kind understanding, and a forgiving spirit, where all saints know that they have a past and all sinners discover they have a future. Raise to new life all whose heads have been bowed down with shame, and reserve for them your crown of righteousness until the day when you humble the exalted and exalt the humble, and your Spirit enlivens all flesh through Christ our Lord, Father most holy.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We come to this table to receive our Passover lamb, eternally grateful that in the eternal counsels of the triune God, that our Savior, the eternal Son, heard and answered the call, was willing to empty himself of all out of love for us, that by doing so, he humbled himself to the place of a servant, died on the cross, a cursed cross for all of us. Now through him and in him alone, we who are unworthy are given great worth. For it is Christ in us, the hope of glory, and it's in Christ that we can hear and answer the call. So I call you to this table, all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to come and to receive the very body and blood of our Son, or his Son, our Savior. This is not this church's table, it is the Lord's table. So all children of the Father are invited to keep the feast, thanking him for his great love for us.
As the centurion, understanding his own posture before the Holy One, stated, "We too confess that we are not worthy, but just say the word, and we shall be healed." We thank you for the word you have spoken, declaring us righteous, calling us into the great privilege of being able to go out and call all others to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. May your Spirit fall upon us anew, giving us the strength, the desire, the perseverance, and the courage to answer the call that you've given unto us. We ask all these things in the glorious name of your Son, our Savior, who, along with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship using the same hymn I hear you used last week. So we'll do it again with vipers. And the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Thanks be to God.